tempted God, and they were destroyed. What do we think? If we tempt Christ, we're not going to be destroyed? We could be destroyed. You think about how severe it was in the wilderness. You read those stories in Exodus, Numbers. The things that happened in the wilderness, they murmured. And he slew them. And he says, these things were our examples. The same thing can happen. So to Christians today, I think this is the most foreign part of the writings of Paul. I never hear it preached on in most circles. I've heard it preached on in my last church, but definitely not in most churches. No. You won't hear it preached about on TV. You won't hear it on the radio. Maybe. I don't know. Right? I know Arnold Murray will cover it. And some others, right? But hey, look it. There are things that come against people who think they're in the faith in order to destroy them and to remove them from the faith. I don't want to be one of those people. I really have no control over whether I'm one of those people. Why? Because unless Christ is putting righteousness in me, I've got lust in me. I started out a sinner. You know? I've got lust. I want to eat. Right? I mean, that's not me now, but you know, it was me one time. How am I going to stop being a pig? If I walk in the store and there's all this food, you know, right? Oh, I could have some. I love bread, especially that cheesy bread with the pepperonis in it, and, you know? All that stuff, tempting, right? And how is a man going to save themselves? Again, we don't do it according to the law of Moses. Remember in that wilderness experience, when the manna came down from heaven, it only came 6 days a week. On the seventh day, there was to be none. People went out looking for manna on the Sabbath day, and God called it sin. How long will these people disobey me? Right? Jesus Christ took his disciples through a field of corn, and they picked it and ate it as they went, which is the same thing. It's actually a step beyond what the manna. They went out to look for manna that wasn't even there. You weren't allowed to gather or harvest food on the Sabbath. Jesus openly flaunted those laws. I don't care what anyone says. Because Jesus became a greater law to us. In Christ, there is a greater law. The law of faith. It is the laws of the New Testament. There are new laws we have to follow. So again, the way we obtain things is different. They had to obey being lustful. You know? You know, you were in that time, man, and you messed up, boom, you're dead. Those are examples so that we would be careful. And consider well. Look at the patience and long-suffering of God. I'm thankful that he's patient with us, you know. But also, I'm kind of, you think about it, it's like he's let it go on for so long. Plenty of people believe God has forsaken the world. I mean, or, you know, he just isn't even there. That's what they believe. There's no God. Certainly not that. I mean, maybe there's some sort of God force out there, right? But, you know, and others would say, oh, it's all mumbo jumbo. There's all explanations. They're all natural explanations. But what are the explanations for the natural explanations? That's what I want to know. Meaning, how can you explain that these things are all explainable? I know, it gets to a big circle, right? Eventually, just like the people who ask, well, if God, who created God, you know? The whole point of being God is that you don't need to be created. You know, but yeah, you wonder, like, well, where'd he get his power? You know, right? But still, you can dwell on those. See, what about those questions, Paul? Well, you can dwell on those questions. The thing is, I have had, you know what, put those questions to rest for me, were certain things that came that were so powerful, they made faith in me. Experiences, certain facts, you know. All persuaded me that, yeah, this is true. And at the time, not even completely understanding it. And of course now, not even completely understanding it, certainly not. But what I do understand, I try to cleanse and remove from its relics of human understanding and so on and so forth. I don't want to get off the track here. We can tempt Christ. You know, there's all kinds. Remember, this is like we're looking back at that picture of that race. They were all supposed to go to the promise, let my people out of Egypt so they can come into my wilderness to worship me, right? And I'm going to lead you to the land that floweth with milk and honey. But they didn't all get to the land of milk and honey. In fact, only two got to the land of milk and honey. Out of the whole generation that left Egypt, only two entered the land of milk and honey. Think about the percentages there. Millions, two. Now their sons and daughters inherited it. They got to enter in. But I'm just saying, of the people who began the race, only two finished. Consider well. Many of them died. Their whole families perishing with them. Others lived, but they were all cursed. They would not be allowed to enter the land. Specifically because of what happened when they sent out the spies to spy out the land, and the people trembled because of the reports of giants. And God said, He will give it to you. I will give it to you. And they refused to enter. And then when He spoke to them in His wrath, they changed their mind, but it was too late. We don't want to be, you know, in the way they ended up. We want to finish the race winners. We don't want to get overthrown in the wilderness. Verse 11, now all these things happened to them for ensamples. Same as examples above. Tupos, types, examples, whatever. And they are written for our admonition, which means calling attention to. That's what that word means, literally. Upon whom the ends of the world are come. The ends of the world are coming upon us. All of us. So the apostles all believed it was their generation. And what I take from that is that if men so intimately involved with the Spirit and with Christ Himself would go and so be convinced that the end was in their lifetime, then I ought to be convinced of the same. I, like the apostles, am convinced that I live in the last generation. I believe this is the way that Christians are supposed to walk. People get all flipped out, predictions, and people have been thinking, yeah, well, keep thinking it.